to a Hope 103.2 podcast.
Actress Winona Ryder was once reported as saying, "Religion is fiction. I've read the Bible. It's a great book, but it's a novel." Now, I'm sure Miss Ryder's opinion is shared by many, many people. In fact, probably the most common view of the Bible is just that. It's a book you respect, but don't really trust. If you'd asked me at 15 years of age what I thought of the Bible, I would have answered, it's irrelevant. It's historically unreliable, and on top of that, it's been changed through the years, so you don't really know what was originally said anyhow. Amazing, isn't it? I'd never actually read the Bible. I didn't know the tests for historical reliability, and I couldn't tell you what languages the thing had been translated from in the first place, but I was confident to reject the Bible as nonsense. Many people warn us not to believe the myths in the Bible. The funny thing is, the real myths are the ones about the Bible, not in it. The first myth is that the meaning of the Bible has been lost in translation. How many times have you heard people say something like, "The Bible was translated from one language to another, and then into another, and so on. By the time we got it in English, its original meaning was lost." This is the Chinese whispers effect. Someone says something, you pass it on, someone else passes it on, and by the time the last person hears about it, the original message has undergone a few transformations. Has this happened to the Bible? Well, the fact of the matter is that most English Bibles available today are taken directly from the original languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. Our knowledge of these languages is actually getting more and more precise, which means that translators are getting more and more accurate, not less. The argument about losing it in translation really is a myth. Then, of course, some people argue that the scribes, those who copied and passed on the ancient Bible documents, decided to change the stories to suit themselves. An example of this argument might speculate that the famous walking on water story in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, originally read something like this. "Not long before morning, Jesus came toward them. He was swimming in the water and was about to pass the boat." Then, according to this argument, some ancient scribe thought to himself, "Oh, that's a bit boring. I know, I'll put something new into it." So now, Mark 6:48 reads, "Not long before morning, Jesus came toward them. He was walking on the water and was about to pass the boat." The problem with this view of Jesus, you know, swimming in the water and then becoming walking on the water is the evidence. There isn't any. We have in our possession hundreds of ancient copies of the Gospel of Mark, found in many different places all over the ancient world. Let's suppose for a minute that one adventurous scribe from, say, Athens did decide to change Jesus swimming into walking on water. Surely you'd still expect to find the original swimming story somewhere in the many, many other copies we've uncovered. It's not as if the Athenian scribe could email his changes through to his friends in Jerusalem, Rome, and Corinth and get them to make the changes too. The fact is, in all of the ancient copies of Mark we have, only one version of the story exists. It says Jesus walked on water. This is just one example, but the same principle can be applied to any biblical story. Without any evidence of what a scribe is supposed to have deliberately changed, it makes no sense to argue that he did. Such a speculation is based on bias, not evidence. Then there's the issue of motive. Remember, it's not as if these scribes thought they were making copies of Clio or Rolling Stone magazine, where if you make a change or two, it's no big deal. Scribes actually thought they were dealing with God's word. That might be a difficult idea for some of us to get our heads around, but they really believed it. For these people, the vast majority of them anyway, any change was a horrible crime against God. Put yourselves in their shoes or sandals. Would you make changes? Others argue, okay, so maybe the scribes didn't make deliberate changes, but what about mistakes? What if over the years, errors were accidentally overlooked? Surely that would make the Bible unreliable today. Well, the fact is, mistakes were made in some of the ancient copies of the Bible. In fact, let me share one with you. Okay, here we go. Luke chapter 8, verse 43 describes a woman who came to Jesus for healing. "And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, and she had spent all she had on doctors, but no one could heal her. The problem here is that the words, "and she had spent all she had on doctors," appear in some manuscripts, but not in others. Remember, we literally have hundreds of ancient copies of Luke. Now, obviously, some scribe somewhere along the line messed up, accidentally overlooking those words and picking up again later in the sentence. Scholars now search through the many ancient copies of Luke to find out which is the most likely form of the original sentence. Their conclusion determines how the sentence appears in our modern translations of the Bible. Often, as in the case of Luke 8:43, there's a footnote in our Bibles telling us that there is an alternative form of the sentence. This isn't the only mistake in the ancient copies of the Bible, but the others don't change the overall meaning of any Bible story or text. Basically, what I'm saying is this. The people who made the ancient copies of the Bible were, despite the occasional small error like this, extremely diligent. Trust what you read in the Bible. I'll give you more reasons for doing so tomorrow night.
Hope 103.2. Thanks for listening.